interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
70 years ago this morning, the enemy was Japan.
The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
The attack on Pearl Harbor killed more than 2,000 Americans, destroyed or damaged more than 20 warships, and galvanized the nation to enter a war in the Pacific after years of staying on the sidelines in the war in Europe. The enemy might have been Japan, but in the American melting pot there were many Japanese faces, and the sudden solidarity in America over Pearl Harbor soon gave way to distrust, and a staggering suspension of the U.S. Constitution. War relocation camps for 100,000 Japanese Americans were set up, where whole families of American citizens were sent. Some of those relocated Japanese Americans petitioned the U.S. to serve in combat instead as a way of demonstrating their loyalty. The petitions were accepted, and soon Japanese Americans were fighting as both volunteers and drafted servicemen around the world. Two Japanese American veterans join us today. Virgil Westdale, good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Virgil is a veteran of the Japanese-American 442nd Division. Thank you for your service, first of all, Virgil.
Well, thank you for saying that.
And Terry Shima was drafted to serve in Italy in 1944, just in time to see the war end, but he was on the battlefield as well. Terry Shima, thanks for your service and good morning.
Thank you and good morning.
So remind us, both of you, and Virgil, why don't you begin, what was it like in America right after Pearl Harbor, this feeling that we can do no wrong, we've got a righteous cause, we can do almost anything, including, in turn, our own citizens as a response to Pearl Harbor? Virgil?
Well, I was in college at the time, and I realized that there were some gathering of the Japanese here and there, and some prejudice was looming on the horizon. And so my brother and I kept very, very quiet on who we were and so on and so forth. And we felt that the bombing of Pearl Harbor was a horrible act. And but it was one of those things that we didn't know much about why they had done it. And so we had to just wait and see what happened. I know that newspapers and the radio announcers were saying that the war would be over in about 2 weeks, but we knew better than that, but we didn't say anything about it.
Well, they always say the war will be over in a couple of months or a few weeks. Virgil Westdale is a veteran of the Japanese-American 442nd Division. Now, it's the most decorated combat regiment in U.S. history. You helped to free the prisoners at the Dachau concentration camp. You also received a Congressional Gold Medal. Is there a sense, Virgil, in all of the decorations for the 142nd, that the Japanese-American servicemen had something to prove in World War II because of all the prejudice?
Yes, we did. And, of course, the way we were all trained to do our very best all the time, whether it be working or whether it be training in combat, of which we had not been in combat as yet, but we knew that it would probably be coming. And as a result, we just had to buckle down. And when we went into the training, our training always seemed to be more difficult than any other training. I was in the infantry for 8 months training, and then I was transferred to the artillery. And the reason is because my sister was pretty pretty distraught about that I had been a commercial instrument flight instructor, and then all of a sudden I was a private in the Army because of the ruling by the government at the time through the Executive Order 9066. And
which meant you couldn't be a pilot, right?
No, they wouldn't allow me to remain as a pilot.
To remain as a pilot. Okay. Incredible history there. Terry Shima, who was drafted to serve in Italy in 1944, also with us. He's now a historian with the Japanese-American Veterans Association. What are the memories for Japanese-Americans on Pearl Harbor Day, Terry?
Well, Pearl Harbor was the darkest hour of Japanese-American history. When we were treated as enemy aliens. Today, on the other hand, we are considered as just Americans. This transformation was caused, in part, by the 25,000 Japanese Americans who served in the U.S. Army. 800 of them who made the ultimate sacrifice to defend American democracy and to prove Japanese-American loyalty to their country.
You know, I wonder, Terry, what it was like for you, your experience in the Army itself. I can look back through the history books and the culture at the time and see the prejudice against Japanese-Americans throughout the United States at that point. Did that extend into the armed forces as well?
Oh, yes. First of all, there was, when Pearl Harbor occurred, there was mass hysteria against anything Americans of Japanese ancestry, anything ethnic Japanese. But that permeated within the U.S. military. When General Marshall offered the 100th Battalion to SHAPE headquarters, General Eisenhower's staff declined. However, the 5th Army commander accepted the 100, and that's where they went,
Wow. And
they proved their point.
Terry Shima, you know, I don't understand how when an attack like this happens, there's all this explosion of prejudice in the United States. There's the internment of 100,000 of your fellow citizens, and you're drafted and you go. Why don't you just say, I got nothing to fight for here. What do you think? I'm going to put on a uniform? Are you out of your mind? Terry Shima, explain to me how you made the decision to go.
I can explain to you by reciting the comment of one of the person Japanese-American who was already in the military when war occurred, and he was discharged and given draft classification 4C, enemy alien, unfit for military duty. He went home, he helped his family pack, and went to camp with them. And when the call came for volunteers for the 442nd Regimental Combat Team, he was among the first to volunteer. And as he would explain why, he said, I was mad.
Wow.
I was mad because they kicked me out of the Army for no reason other than the color of my face. However, I'm an American, and I want to fight for my country, and I want to prove that I am an American, and I want to hasten the day when my family can leave this camp. And that's why I volunteered.
Terry Shima.
He was not the only person. Many people were like that.
No, and Virgil Westdale is one of them as well. Were you mad back in 1941, Virgil?
Yes, I was, and really very distraught because I was a pilot. I got my private pilot license. I went through acrobatic flying through the war training service, and as I graduated, I went right to the top of that class right away. I had a gift for flying, and then one day the FAA sent an inspector over to get my license, and he looked at me and he said, Virgil, he says, I have to ask for your license. Well, I waited for him to explain why, but of course he wasn't going to. He didn't, and I thought that was a bit strange. But I was trained not to question authority at the time, and so I reached in, pulled out my license, and gave it to him, my private pilot license. That
wow.
was, and then as a result, I was out of flying for 5 months, and three federal agents checked me out. The FBI, the Navy Intelligence, and the War Relocation Authority.
Well, Virgil and Terry, anger is certainly an incredible motivator, and especially you've given us something to think about on this Pearl Harbor Day, 70 years after Pearl Harbor. Virgil Westdale, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And Terry Shima, thank you as well.
Thank you very much.
Virgil's a veteran of the Japanese-American 442nd Division. Terry Shima was drafted to serve in Italy in 1944, both Japanese-Americans on this Pearl Harbor Day. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.